Ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by Hagen Oaks, America's most awarded golf facility, and Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Hello, and welcome to the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sports 1140 KHDK. My name is Frank LaRosa. My partner there is Scott Marsh, and we are here every week to kind of bring you the good news about the game of golf. On this show, we're going to talk to a young man, Jaden Dumdumaya. Jaden is a name you might recognize because he recently won his division at the Drive, Chip, and Putt Championship at a place called Augusta National. You know anything about that place, Scott?
Yeah, I'm familiar with that course and maybe the greatest course in the world and, of course, the host of the Masters. And for him to be able to go to Augusta and participate in the finals of that competition and to win it on the 18th green, it's not maybe the green jacket, but it's the equivalent for Jaden, for sure.
You know, it was pretty exciting for him, I know, to go through all of that. He'd been a runner-up in the Northern California section championship for a number of years. And, you know, to finally, you know, get to Augusta and to win with his family there, I'm sure that's going to be a heartfelt story that he's going to have to tell.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to him.
And then following him, we've got, you know, speaking of, again, schools, the UC Davis Aggies are hosting the El Macero Classic coming up next week. And Rusty Seymour, the general manager of El Macero Country Club, will be with us to talk about that tournament. They've got some pretty exciting teams coming. I think it's a 15-team tournament, as I remember. But this could be the sixth or seventh year that it's been held at El Macero.
Yeah, several teams in the top 100 in the country. UCLA is going to be out there. The Aggies, you could argue, have their best team in school history. They have their top player in the top 25 in the country. I mean, this is a pretty cool tournament coming up.
Yeah, and I think Rusty said that spectators are welcome too. So that's something that people are going to want to pay attention to. And then, of course, our final segment on the show is going to be a guy named Marsh. Speaking of Aggies, and Scott, you had an incredible week last week. You and three buddies did your bucket list trip. You went to South Carolina. You played your last round there, your pre-Masters visit at Hilton Head, where the tournament is being held this week. Yep. And so you're going to have your own little insights having played that course. We'll get the you know, the weekend golfer's point of view for what the tour players are playing this week.
Yep. For golfers who are looking for the ultimate bucket list golf trip, this certainly could be something you could pattern yours after. It was an amazing week.
And with some good friends, and those are memories you'll have for a long time. And certainly, you know, to cap that trip, you spent a couple of days at Augusta National, kind of wandering around the grounds, spending more time than you should have in the apparel shop, but you'll be looking good for a long time this year.
I think my MasterCard literally caught on fire inside that gift shop, but yes, I will have great momentous for a long time.
As always, I think we've got lots of fun in store for you here on the Golf to Go Radio Hour. This is Sports 1140 KHTK. We'll be back right after these messages.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
Golf to Go Radio Hour continues here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Really proud to introduce a young man named Jaden Dumdumaya from Northern California, who just returned from the Drive, Chip, and Putt Championship at Augusta National. Not a bad place to go, I would think, for that kind of final. It's kind of an exciting story, and we're going to learn a little bit more about Jaden right now on Golf to Go. So Jaden, tell us how old you are.
I'm 15 years old. I turned 16 in June.
Okay, how long you been playing golf, and how'd you get started?
I started, around 2 years old. I picked up my first club just past 2 years old. I got started from my siblings and my dad. My dad always played golf when I was younger, so I kind of just tagged along with him. And then my sister and brother were playing for the high school team. So I'd always watch them practice, and slowly I get intrigued by their like the game of golf. So I was having fun with it at a young age.
When you were two, were you playing with real clubs or plastic clubs or what?
I started with the plastic clubs at like Walmart that you'd get, but as I got older, I started to use like the metal clubs that.
So you've been playing roughly about 13 years now. What's your handicap?
Last time I checked, it was a plus 4.6.
Did you get that? Did you get that, Scott? He said plus 4.6.
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know what to say about that one, Frank.
Jaden, you just came back from the drive, chip, and putt championship. You've competed in this before, and you've made it to the regionals a number of times, but this was the first year you qualified for the nationals. How excited were you when you found out you were going to go to the nationals, and what was your first thought?
It was a dream of being like, it was at Pebble Beach and it came down to the last putt. So I was very, it was emotional for me and my dad. We've been working hard at it for like around 6 or 7 years. And his dream was to be able to see Augusta National in person. And it was also my dream. So I was pretty happy about being able to make my dream come true.
So tell us about that last putt that got you in.
Yeah, it was a straight 30 foot or right to left downhill 30 foot putt at Pebble Beach. It was at the hay on the big putting green, but it was a really fast putt. I couldn't have read it better. Just put it inside, I'd say a foot, just inside the 20-point range that put me in the lead. So it came down the game. It came down to a couple inches.
Tell it what for people that don't know. Describe the competition of drive, chip, and putt, and how the points are scored.
There are three different disciplines, the drive, chip, and putt. So the drive in the local, sub-regional, and regional, there is a 40-yard grid that you hit three shots, and every 10 yards, there's a point added. So if you say you hit it 200 yards, I'd say it'd be around 16 points, and then every 10 yards after that, add up 1 point. And then the chipping, there's five different rings. So there's a like the 0 points, which is like the biggest ring. If you're out of it, you get 0 points in. The ring in front is 2 points. Then the next ring's five. Then the other ring, 10, 15, 20. And then if you make it, it's a 20, 25 points. But all those rings are separated by a 2 foot margin. So you have to be really precise in order to get in inside those rings. But the putting is similar to the chipping, except cut down in half. So the rings are separated by one foot.
There are thousands of juniors around the country that compete in this. And and you come down to how many in each category when you get to Augusta, in each age category?
10 kids in eighty kids in total, 10 kids in each category, and there's 4 boys categories and 4 girls categories.
Yeah. So when you got there and you started sizing up your competition, what was going through your mind?
Yeah, everyone. When we got to there was a practice session the day before the actual tournament, but the competition looked amazing. I mean, everyone just looked spotless, like their game was on point. I was watching it. It wasn't going to be a win that I could say would be easy, but it definitely came down to whoever worked the hardest. And the last months and months before that day, I was putting a lot of time and effort into it. Like I'd say each week, each day I'd spend at least 2 hours practicing like one of the three disciples. And so I spent a lot of time on the driving and then the chipping, and I couldn't be more confident in my putting. So it all came down to that putting part. But yeah, the competition was great, and everyone, it was fun meeting everybody, and we all hung out after the mat or the tournament. And so I built a lot of friendships out there, and it was definitely an experience that I'd remember my whole life.
That's great. It seems to me the finals came down to a putt as well for you to win.
Yeah, I had to, it came down to the putting discipline, and I put the 30 footer to 8 inches, and then I had the 15 footer left. I had to get that putt inside 10 feet, 5 inches, I think. And so I told myself that this is what you're known for. My brother and I were discussing it before. It's that putting's like my strongest part of my golf game. And so 15 feet, and I try my best to make it, and it went in. So I was very happy about that.
Scott, I think we need to get Jaden for one of our scramble teams. What do you think?
Absolutely. Sign him up right now. Congratulations, first of all. What did you win for winning, Jaden?
We got a there's a pretty big trophy. I'd say it's about like 2 feet tall. It's pretty big, but yeah, I got that trophy. It was handed to me by Dustin Johnson, which was pretty cool. And I had Bubba Watson watching me on the chipping and putting. The chairman, Mr. Ridley, he was there also. So it was pretty nerve-wracking having all those really important people, but it couldn't have been a better way to end the tournament. So it was great.
Where was the contest held at Augusta? Was it what hole, or where was the putting and chipping? Where was it done at?
The putting was on the 18th green.
Okay.
And the chipping and driving disciplines were in the practice, official practice area. So actually the driving was on the right side of the range, towards the right side of the fairway. And or the right, because there's a split, it's kind of like a Y, but we hit towards the right, and the pros were actually hitting towards the left, so it was fun seeing that them hit while we were hitting. And then the chipping, they were chipping on the same, like around the same area, so they're also watching us. But it was also nerve-wracking having the people that you look up to watching you, and you don't want to mess up. It's hard to not. It's hard to stay focused.
It's absolutely amazing. How far do you drive the golf ball, Jaden?
During that one, I hit it 261. That was my first drive. And so I kind of had like a game plan on hit the first one just as accurate anywhere in bounds. And then the second one, maybe swing a little bit harder. But the second one, unfortunately, just missed on the left side. I didn't get it in the bounds, but I was happy that the first one stayed in.
So. That's amazing. I mean, just to be able to play at Augusta, let alone in front of everybody. What was your thought when you first walked on the course at Augusta and you walked through the gate and knew you were there and you were going to play?
It's still thinking about it now. It feels like it was like a dream. It just still is like a dream, driving down Magnolia Lane and seeing that the beautiful clubhouse. And it was a moment that felt like you were living in like a movie or a picture. But the sun just started. It was just sunrise. We started at around 7 o'clock in the morning. So yeah, it was. The grass was perfect. It felt like artificial or like turf, basically. And yeah, it was the best thing I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like it. So,
We're talking with Jaden Dumdumaya, who won in his age category in the National Drive Chip and Putt Championship. He's from Northern California. What was it like for your dad, who as you said, you know, had this lifelong dream to go to Augusta?
He was very nervous when it came to being out there, and we had a last minute switch in the chaperones. My older brother, Vaughn, he's 29, his birthday's next month, but he was the official chaperone for that tournament. And my dad, he was supposed to be, but he said that he felt like he was going to faint during the middle of the tournament. So yeah, he told, it was something that me and my brother, he always takes care of the caddying when it comes like the amateur events that we play around in the Sacramento area, like the state fair. He was my caddy. And my dad, he was sitting in the behind, like in the ropes with my mom and my uncle and my aunt. And yeah, they were all like my biggest supporters throughout the whole thing. And it was a very emotional memory for my dad. He couldn't, it was hard for him to speak when I made the putt. And it was a memory I remember when I ran back to my family after sinking the putt. So
that's great. Jaden, what do you think about the junior golf in Northern California? There's some pretty good players around here, aren't there?
Yeah, there's, I mean, every tournament's just, it's close. I mean, anyone in the NorCal section can really put on a great show. I mean, there's golfers anywhere in California. I think California's probably the highest caliber of junior golfers. So it's definitely high level competition. Everyone puts in tons and tons of work. And I feel like at any time, there's like, anyone can really win a tournament here. It's something that you really have to put the work in. And I feel like hard work is a big factor to playing good in these junior golf tournaments. So yeah, I think it's something that compared to the other golf tours in the like other states, I don't see there being the potential like the ones here.
Well, sincere congratulations for you, Jaden. Northern California is very proud of you. It's obvious your family is, and we're proud of you here at Golf to Go as well. We will look all the time at your name and in the standings for the local tournaments, and maybe someday you'll be handing that trophy to someone else. Jaden Dumdumaya on Sports 1140 KHDK. We'll be back with more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
Welcome back to the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sports 1140 KHTK. I'll tell you, Scott, listening to Jaden talk about the pressure he was under as a 15-year-old, and what a great story he is.
It's just amazing to think that he was putting on the 18th green at Augusta National. It's absolutely incredible. I was nervous just walking out on the course. I can't even imagine trying to putt to win an amazing competition like he did.
Speaking of competition, and certainly down the line for someone like Jason as he gets into his college career, we have Rusty Seymour, general manager of the El Macero Country Club, with us. Coming up next week, the El Macero Classic returns. It's a tournament hosted by UC Davis golf team and by El Macero Country Club. And they invite, about 10 teams? Rusty, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. What is there 10 teams in this tournament?
Oh, there's 15 teams.
15. Wow.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting. This tournament has gone on for a number of years now. And this year, I think there's 5 teams in the top 100 in the country, correct?
Yeah, there are. Yeah, UC Davis is currently ranked 55th in the nation. And then, yeah, we have Loyola Marymount, Long Beach State, UCLA, and Fresno State that are also in the top 100. So it'll be a strong field again for some great golf.
And for local folks, Sac State is also going to be in this tournament.
It is, yeah. But yeah, this is the eighth year that this tournament has taken place, and UC Davis has won it three times: 2014, 15, and 21. So hopefully they can keep it going.
Well, they do have a little home field advantage because El Macero is their home course for practice and such. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, both the women's and men's golf teams play and practice out here quite a bit, and yeah, they do have a little bit of a advantage. So, got to use it if you got it.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I was out there playing the other day, and there was a group, maybe one or two ahead of us, but they were going back to tees I didn't even know existed. I mean, I look back to where they were, you know, the par three, number 12, maybe they made their own tee. I don't know, but it was pretty remarkable. The distances that what's the distance the course plays for them?
It plays pretty close to 7,000. The Aggie tees do go, they don't use all the Aggie tees during the tournament, but a few of them. But yeah, it can get back to, you know, over 7,100 yards with all the Aggie tees. So, yeah, I still haven't played from some of those because I'm scared.
Well, the one on 10, literally you're crossing over the road right there to play on the Aggie tees.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, the drivers coming through are surprised when they see somebody getting ready to hit a tee shot. But luckily we haven't had any incidents.
Rusty, the members really look forward to this tournament and enjoy the opportunity for, you know, to volunteer and help out as well.
Yeah, it's Cy Williams, the men's golf coach. Every year he says, you know, how much the coaches love coming to this tournament, because compared to most tournaments, our members are very involved from the opening dinner after the practice round. Members sponsor the dinner for teams and get to sit with the team and hang out with them and chat with them. And along with that, we get enough member volunteers so that there's one with each group going out that posts the live score, so everybody that's, you know, not here or even here can follow the live leaderboard for every individual and team. So it's pretty neat.
Yeah, with 15 teams, what's the format? Is it stroke play or?
Yeah, just straight stroke play. And yeah, each day we do a 2-tee start going off 1 and 10. And yeah, it's over the years I've been here, this will be my fifth one. They've had some elements to deal with the wind, and it really brings the best out of some of them, some of the players.
To have you know, five teams in the top 100, that's a pretty strong field for
it is. Yeah, and UC Davis's number one player, Thomas Hutchinson, who's, you know, had some victories in his collegiate career. I mean, he's ranked 21st in the nation right now, and which is the highest ever ranked UC Davis player. So that's, he can get another solid finish or hopefully win and keep moving up that ranking, which is impressive.
Scott, I think everybody knows that. I'm sorry, Rusty.
We also have Jacob Westberg, who grew up here, his grandparents, members, and he's their third ranked player on the team. So he has a little bit even more of a, you know, no excuse of playing bad.
Home field,
he's played more rounds than most of us.
Yeah,
combined.
Kevin Sutherland used to say, you know, when you're playing golf, they're pretty much all away games. But he was pretty excited to play the U.S. Senior Open at Del Paso, that being a home field advantage for him.
Absolutely.
Scott, as I think everybody knows that you're a UCD grad and yep. Have, you know, bled blue for a number of years. What's your thoughts on UC Davis hosting this tournament?
Well, it's amazing. It's always been just such a great event. Cy Williams is a tremendous coach. He's one of the best golf coaches in the country, and he's been at UC Davis for a long, long time, one of the longest tenured coaches. And I've been begging him for lessons for many years, and he refuses to work with me, very understandably so, because he's got much more important things and real golfers that he's got to work with that are on the team. But This Davis team is great. And to me, just the tournaments like this, you just never know who might be on the PGA Tour. I mean, Patrick Cantlay is a UCLA grad. We've recently talked to Aaron Beverly and what he's done. And of course, he played at Sacramento State. And that to me is what's so exciting, just the elevation of college golf right now and the players that are coming from college to the tours. It's so exciting to me, Rusty.
Yeah, it seems like every year they just get better and better and more of them that, you know, can compete at the highest level that have a really good chance of making the tour.
You think of a guy like Scotty Scheffler that did so well as, you know, in his junior and collegiate careers. And, you know, here he is raising his arms on the 18th green after a four putt. You know, that's pretty exciting to know that you can four putt and still win the Masters by a couple of strokes. Huh?
Yeah, I thought he'd be a little more disappointed in himself, but he was just laughing it off and enjoying the moment, knowing he had even a couple more putts to work with.
Great sense of humor.
Yeah.
You know, another tournament that will be out there later this summer that, you know, is kind of near and dear to our hearts at Sports 1140 is the Bobby Jackson tournament. This will be the second year it happens at El Macero. What's that experience like?
Yeah, this is always, I've been part of this event for a few other times at Yochidihi when I used to work there, but have become friends with Greg Almazian, who, you know, helps organize the tournament for Bobby. And yeah, with last year being the first, you know, tournament here at El Macero of his, it's one of those really fun ones you want to play in. You got, you know, a lot of food and beverage throughout the golf course. They bring in some other celebrities for teams to play with. And it's one of those, you know, top events you want to put on your schedule to try to play in. And we're looking forward to the event again and, you know, helping raise money for the Bobby Jackson Foundation.
You know, when he said celebrities, he didn't look at either one of us, Scott. You noticed that.
Nor should he have, at least in my case, for sure. I would consider you a golf celebrity, Frank, but certainly not myself. But I will say that Bobby Jackson's totally committed to the tournament. He flew in from Vegas and played in that tournament right when the Kings were making that summer league run last year that he was coaching. In fact, they had the championship game the next day. Bobby flew in, played, flew back out to Vegas. The Kings won the summer league championship the next day, but it just gives you a little flavor of how much this tournament means to Bobby. It's not a tournament that he puts his name on. It's a tournament that he's fully invested in. You'll see some other Kings players out there. It's one of the marquee golf tournaments in our area. And it's great that it's at El Macero. It makes it just such a great experience, Rusty.
Yeah, I can't wait. Looking forward to it.
So again, it's August 29th. That's a Monday. And you can call El Macero for that, or you can certainly get in touch with Greg Almation as well. And we'll post that information on our KHDK website too.
And we probably failed to mention the fact that with this El Macero Classic and all these college teams, spectators are welcome to come on out and take a look at that kind of golf as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We always encourage that because it's just a nice close opportunity you can get to watching, you know, some phenomenal college golf, which, you know, there's not many opportunities typically anywhere that you live. So,
Rusty, if you're a spectator and you're coming out to that event, would there be anything in particular that you would really want to see? Any particular holes that you think would be a most challenge to these golfers or kind of quote unquote a must see?
Well, always number 18 being a par five. Last year's tournament went into a playoff and it was just fun to watch. The playoff hole is the par five of how far some of these kids are hitting it.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's gettable in two.
There's some, one gentleman that was in the trees, like had his swing restricted by a tree for his second shot, and he still managed to knock it on the front of the green.
Wow.
I always like that hole for sure. Number six, which is one of the harder holes, yep, we have a little dogleg left. There's, you know, even from playing back tees, a lot of the guys can cut the corner, which is a good poke.
Yeah.
But if they don't cut the corner properly, then you're pretty much in trouble in the trees, regardless of where you go. So those are kind of the two I like to hang around and watch.
And on the 6T, you can also see nine green as well. So you have two vantage points there.
Yeah, that's true.
You're by the snack bar, so you can pick up whatever you want to eat.
Yeah, that's right. Eat or drink.
That's right.
Rusty, you alluded to the fact that you were at Yochidihi for a number of years. You've been general manager at El Macero Country Club for what is it? Is it?
Six yeah, it'll be coming up on 5 years this fall, which has been such a great experience. You know, the members here at the club are just awesome, and you know, have already developed some friendships and lifelong friendships. And that's just kind of a bonus for enjoying what I do here at the course.
And certainly, you've been there. Your reign has been through this pandemic, which has been incredible for the game of golf.
Oh, it's been insane. And it's still, even though it's trailed off a little bit, versus when everybody was pent up during the heat of middle of the pandemic. But we just finished our fiscal year, which ends in February, and we still did 41,000 rounds, where pre-pandemic the average here was about 25,000 to 26,000. Wow. Rounds. But in the club, we are fortunate to have a wait list, first time in 25 years, so it's just we're still getting requests on a weekly basis looking for potential members looking to join a club. So It's still pretty strong out there, the demand.
Well, you do a great job, and everybody loved you at Yochidihi, and that adoration kind of moved over with you to El Macero. So we appreciate all you do for not only for your own members, but your version of helping to grow the game as well. Rusty,
thank you.
Seymour,
I appreciate that.
General Manager at El Macero Country Club. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. I'm Frank LaRosa. He is Scott Marsh. And we are back in a moment. We're going to talk to Mr. Marsh about this odyssey he was on, week away playing golf with his buddies and walking the grounds of Augusta. And we'll talk about Scottie Scheffler. And we got a lot more coming up on the Golf to Go Radio Hour right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
Welcome back to the Golf to Go Radio Hour. Hi, I'm Frank LaRosa. Scott Marsh sitting beside me as we kind of wander through another hour of golf talk here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Rusty forgot to mention a couple of things, and they were pretty exciting, Scott. On May 9th at El Macero Country Club, the U.S. Women's Open qualifier is going to happen. That's a pretty exciting tournament.
That's a huge deal. I mean, you can't get any bigger in the world of women's golf than the U.S. Open. And for El Macero to be able to host a qualifier, that's significant for our area.
And Rusty did mention that spectators are welcome to come out and watch those women play as well. Yeah, yep. Can you imagine actually checking out the the UC Davis tournament and seeing how these young men play and then watching how the women play the course as well? That I'm sure that'd be something to learn for everybody, how different people attack the course.
No question. And as we know, there's a lot of women out there who are hitting it awfully far as well. So it'll be interesting to see how those par fives are taken on.
Yeah, that's why I try to get a tee where I can at least keep up with them. And on September 12th, Rusty mentions that the Fortinet Championship is having their Monday qualifier at El Macero Country Club. So they've got a pretty big summer coming up here.
No question. El Macero is becoming one of the great golf courses in our area to hold a lot of these really key competitions. And as you know, it's kind of a home course for us as well. It's a fabulous country club, and it makes sense that these prestigious events would come there. And for the Fortinet, that tournament that's in Napa at Silverado, you'll get a lot of PGA players trying to qualify for that event. It'll be the first tournament of the next season. So you could see some top 100 players in the world potentially playing at El Macero for that event in September.
Yeah, this is the second year that Fortinet has been the title sponsor. Safeway had been for the 3 or 4 years previously, and it's a stop on the PGA Tour. It's a stop that our own Cameron Champ will certainly be at with his cheering section as well. So it's an exciting tournament, and the opportunity to get a chance to play in it in the Monday qualifier is pretty exciting. And that's on September 12th. And once again, I'm certain that spectators will be welcome for that.
Absolutely. Yep, they will be.
So let's talk about you, Scott. How long have you really wanted to kind of get to the Masters? I mean, when did your blood start boiling?
Oh, as a kid, when you watched that tournament and Jack Nicklaus, I remember watching the CBS Masters highlights, staying up late at night, not letting my parents know that I was up at 11:30 trying to watch those highlights, you know, rooting for the Golden Bear and what he won at 86. That was an amazing moment. I remember that vividly. So an entire lifetime, no question, as I'm sure most people who love the game of golf feel the same way.
You know, this is a tournament that that emblazons moments in people's minds because there is such a buildup to it. It is such an important tournament. You know, the whole history of Bobby Jones and him being the first to do the Grand Slam and opening this tournament and in the beginning, not even liking the name, the Masters. He was not a fan of that at all. I think he just wanted to call it the Invitational or something like that. But it has grown in people's minds, probably, even bigger than it actually is. And as you say, to have all those memories from your childhood, that's something you carry with a long time.
No question. And it's the one major that you play on the same course every year. You know, now Augusta's done a lot of things to keep the course up to today's standards, but they've done it in the mind of what was Bobby Jones trying to do when he designed the course in terms of what's the challenges on each hole. And literally when you're back there, you feel like you're back in a different era. I mean, it's modern, but it's got the great sense of tradition. You could envision yourself being there in the late 30s or 40s or 50s and the way they treat people and the traditions, it truly is unlike any other. There's no other way to describe it.
So when you walk through the gate the first time, what's the first thing that hits you?
You feel like you've gone to a bygone era. You know, it really is Disneyland for golf fans. I mean, you're waiting in line to rush through. There's a ton of patrons out there. You walk up through the concessions and you go through, you see Butler Cabin and all the things off to your left in the driving range. And then you finally make it to the tee at one and you just feel like you've arrived. You see the Masters scoreboard to your right side. You see your first tee to the left. It's kind of like you've made it to Disneyland. I mean, that's the feeling I probably had as a young kid, you know. It's absolutely awesome.
So when you compare it to Disneyland, people always ask, what was your favorite ride? So I guess I would ask you, what was your favorite moment? What was your favorite spot?
Lots of them, but I don't think anything surpasses as you walk down towards Amen Corner. You know, as you go down 11 and Amen Corner is situated on the lowest piece of the property. So you're walking straight downhill. You see the green at 11, you see the tee at 12, and then you see the tee at 13. So you can see all three holes together, the green for 11, the whole hole at 12, and the tee at 13. It's an absolutely just amazing view. And what's awesome is the patrons, they bring in their seats. And so they put their seats down. They may get up and walk around someplace else. So the rule is if there's an open seat, you can sit down until somebody else returns whose chair it is. So we sat down literally in the front row at Amen Corner for about an hour or so and just took it in. And it was awesome because Lee Westwood was warming up. And all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, inside the ropes, Raymond Floyd and his wife started walking out to talk to Lee Westwood. So we saw them. And my friend Mike Rockenstein, who you know from the first tee, he's the ultimate golf historian. We have to have him on at some point. But he was talking about Raymond Floyd winning the tournament in 1976 and going through the history of that. It was just awesome to see that. And there's so many moments like that. You walk out on 13 and you envision where Phil Mickelson hit it between the trees to win it. You're out at 10, you can kind of envision where Larry Mize hit that chip shot to rip out the hearts and win that tournament from Greg Norman. So all those types of things, you can just visualize all this history because every hole has its own story unto itself.
you know, the television cameras have the ability to focus on, you know, whatever the director wants us to see. And, you know, we get these beautiful shots of green and azaleas and all of that. Mm-hmm. But it sounds as you describe it, it doesn't matter where you look, you're surrounded by this beauty.
You're seeing this beauty and you're seeing this history. And again, I know many people have said this, but it's so true. When you're there, you cannot get a feel for how up and down that course is. It's an amazing walk. It's not an easy walk. And what Tiger did this past weekend to go 4 rounds on 4 days based on what he's been through is no small accomplishment whatsoever. You get out to one and the drive, by the time you're done hitting it for the way the length they are, it hits up towards a bunker, which is kind of at the same level as the tee. But what you can't see is it's a crater in between those two spots. So you literally hit your tee, you're walking straight downhill for about 150 yards. Then you're walking straight uphill for another 150 yards to get to your drive spot for your second shot. And that's why it's one of the toughest holes out there. And there's so many little nooks and crannies like that at Augusta that, as good as the TV coverage is, and it's unbelievable, you still can't get that feel until you've actually experienced it yourself.
So did you walk the course in order?
We did, not in entire order. The first day on Tuesday when we got there, because the weather was shaky, there were thunderstorms. In fact, they cleared the course by noon. We wanted to do the back nine. So we did 10 through 18 on Tuesday. We came out and did 1 through 9 on Wednesday, where we were there for 2 days. Now, the amazing part about the story, Frank, is that Augusta just treats its patrons so well. And I don't know if there's another tournament in the world or any other sport that would do this, but because they had to close the grounds before noon and we weren't allowed back out there, they refunded the tickets from our day on Tuesday, and they've already automatically reissued us tickets for next year's tournament on Tuesday. So I guess I'm going back now.
I see.
They're technically Mike's tickets because he won them in the lottery. So I guess I have to be extra nice to him over the next year or figure out some way to make that work. But technically we have 4 tickets for next year's tournament too.
You know, I think from a legal point of view, it's yours. I wouldn't worry too much about that.
That's what I'm thinking.
You know, you talk about how kind and gracious they are to the patrons. Folks with green jackets around are there to answer questions and point you in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And the concessions are in, you know, very affordable. Probably cheap is probably a better word, or inexpensive rather than the, you know, what you expect at places like that. How they've held those prices all these years, I'm certainly the club is probably subsidizing that, but it certainly adds to this moment of a piece of time, as you kind of alluded to.
No question. And just the tickets themselves, as you're aware, you can't just go buy tickets to the Masters. They're issued by the tournament. You have to go through a lottery system where you apply for tickets. In the case of my friend Mike, he's been applying for over 20 years. He finally won the lottery for that practice round, won 4 tickets. The face value of the tickets are just $75. Now, if you're trying to buy that on a second market, it could be thousands of dollars. And the Masters really discourages that. They want no resale of these tickets. I mean, to them, it's not about making money off the patrons, maybe at the gift shop a little bit, because the gift shop, you can spend a lot of money there. But otherwise, I mean, the pimento cheese sandwich is $1.50, you know, the sweet tea, $2, beer, $3. I mean, they are not gouging you in any way, shape or form.
So I want to talk about the 5 rounds of golf you played in South Carolina, but I don't want to get away from Augusta till you've had every opportunity. Is there anything that I missed that we should talk about?
Just that you have to go, Frank. Everybody who's a golf fan has to experience that one time. It's something you have to take in. It's a unbelievable experience. It's one of those things that's better than what you would think it would be. And it was definitely a trip of a lifetime. There's just absolutely no doubt about that.
Well, you just let Mike know that it's a fivesome next year.
Absolutely. I'm going to do that.
So you did go early, and you guys decided that you were going to play some golf on this trip. You played 5 rounds in how many days?
3 days, 90 holes.
Wow.
Friday through Sunday, 2 rounds on Friday, a round on Saturday, and 2 rounds on Sunday.
And so tell me a little bit about the courses you played, and more so, why should our Northern California golf fans, you know, decide to go to South Carolina?
Well, if you love Pebble Beach in the Monterey area, you're going to love Hilton Head too. It's very similar, obviously a little bit different climate, a little warmer, but so many great courses you can play all within a few mile radius. So we were at the Sea Pines Resort. We were able to play Atlantic Dunes, which is a Davis Love III course. We played Heron Point, designed by Pete Dye. We played a couple of other country club courses there in the area, and we finished it up with Harbortown, which is the signature course where the PGA is this week. So we were able to see the signature 18th green with the lighthouse next to it, and it was a great way to cap off the three-day, five-course journey.
Now, you played with caddies. Was it every day or at
Hilton? The only time we played was at Harbortown. They require you to play with a four caddy.
Yeah. And explain that experience, you know, for people that haven't had the use of a caddy. What does that do to help you get through a round?
Well, I personally love it. There were a couple others in our group who maybe didn't love it as much. But what I love about it is obviously you're getting reads off greens that you can't see. And, you know, they're telling you things about the course you're not aware of. And I think for anything, just for myself, because there's so many times during a round where I get discouraged with a terrible shot, the caddy's just there to say, hey, don't shake it off. That's a good shot. Don't worry about it. You know, I love the positive reinforcement. I could use that every round, Frank.
Well, you know, I'm there for you, Scott.
You do a good job, but the caddy, he's definitely charging you up and keeping you going throughout a round. So,
you know, the times I've played with a caddy and you hit when you do hit a bad shot, it's just so embarrassing because you're doing it in front of this I was going to say golf professional, a professional in the game of golf. But that's probably a better description, but you got to believe they have seen more bad shots than anybody in the world. And they found a way, as you say, to find the positive in it.
No question. They made me feel like I was Tiger Woods out there on the course, which is completely laughable, but it was a lot of fun.
And after a few holes, they begin to understand your game. They know that you're going to hit the ball this far, and maybe this is the club you should be using. And I've always found that to be very helpful. And quite frankly, the relationship, the stories they tell you, I'm sure that you got a little background information on the golf course and maybe a bit of history as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, Harbortown in particular is a historic course. And so it was great to get all of that. And once they realize you're pretty lousy, they're telling you to turn your head the other way, maybe kicking the ball out a couple of yards for you to give you a little better lies and things like that. So they are definitely helping you out.
Well, nonetheless, an incredible trip, and yeah. You know, I congratulate you and the entire group for doing so. This it's something to look forward to, and you know, you may have convinced me to be part of it next year.
You have to come along. That's the only thing that could make this trip even better next year.
All right. Well, this has been a fun hour on the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Scott, it's so much fun talking golf with you every week. And the notion that we've had a chance to kind of talk about your trip made it even more special.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the time. It was truly a bucket list trip, and it's just something that I hope everybody can do at some point in their life.
Everybody go out and play golf. It's fun. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. I'm Frank LaRosa. He's Scott Marsh. Look for you next week right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.